This podcast is being published late due to family illness, but I wanted to go back and make sure we had a show for today for completeness of the archive. Coming up on podcast 1557, the US EV tax credits clear their first hurdle, but it's not quite so plain sailing. Stick around, I'll tell you what I know. Also on the show today, we're talking about the Kia EV9, Tesla's new loyalty program, and 60 electric buses go down under. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information for Tuesday, 9th of August. Martin Lee here. I've been through every EV story in the last 24 hours, so you don't have to. We'll start with a big congratulations to the gang at BYD. Spectacular performance last month in July. 224% increase on a year ago for the same month. 162,000 plug-in vehicles sold last month. Last month alone! And that is up from their previous record, which was the previous month, which was 133,000. That's about a 30,000 difference between their old record, their new record, month on month. Look, there's so many EV makers in the world that don't make 30,000 cars a month, and BYD just smashed it. That was the difference. Doing so well at the moment. 2 million plug-in cars a year. It's 50-50 split, actually. It's about 80,000, 81,000 pure battery electric cars, and 81,000... plug-in hybrids. I know that I give General Motors a bit of jip sometimes for all of their big rhetoric and not always coming through. But although I still stand by that and say that they talk a very big game in the US, but they've made like three Hummers and they had to bring all the bolts back because they were setting themselves alight. So maybe some humility wouldn't go amiss. But they like to talk a big game about their electrifying the entire car industry and all that. Look, the Ultium platform is really good. I'm looking forward to the Lyriq, the Celestiq, and other cars as well. But look, until they're out and on sale, then, you know, the Silverado, yeah, they're still looking good. But come on, get them on the market and then you can take the credit. They seem to want the credit before they've actually done anything. However, in China, it's a different story because they do a part of a joint venture. So GM actually do really well in China. They just don't get any of the credit, really, because it's SAIC alongside GM and Wuling, or SGMW is the name of the company. And they registered about 300,000 plug-in cars in the first half of this year. They sell cars like the Hongguang Mini EV and the Kiwi EV and the Nano EV. So well done, GM. Doing well in China. Just need to do well in other places. Now, the Kia EV9 is an electric SUV, and it's been seen with less camo than we've ever seen before. So now we get to see its true shape. Obviously, we've seen it before with all the little foam padding bits on, but now it's just the camouflage prototype with the tight wrap, so we can see the shapes of this pounding around the Nürburgring in Germany with the psychedelic camouflage. It's big and it's bold. I mean, it's really big. Thanks to the new photos, it has very slim and flush door handles that'll work like the EV6, I imagine, and also the vertical light strips, the projectors that make up the front lights and the rear lights as well. The rear lights wrap around the hatch, then they go all the way up to the roof spoiler. Think very Volvo XC60, and it looks nice. It's a great rear end. Great. It's just so big. Like, this is going to sell well in some markets. It wouldn't be for me, but I know it will be for some people. And because there's no huge engine underneath, they've moved the cab very much forward. It does have a bonnet, hopefully a frunk under there as well, and some storage. But the proportions still look about right. It just looks so enormous. But if you need three rows of seating, because I don't need like 4,000 children or something, then, you know, you're ferrying them all around to football practice, then this might be for you. You know, I'd rather have an ID Buzz over this, but if you want the SUV style, this could well be for you, the Kia EV9. Don't know when it arrives, by the way, but we'll keep an eye on that one, right? Tesla are launching a new ownership loyalty program with some big discounts. They are only doing it in China for now, and they're telling owners of current models that if they upgrade to a new Tesla, they will receive three incentives. First of all, you get full self-driving, half price. So you get to save yourself almost $5,000 equivalent because you're trading in a Tesla for a Tesla. So that's actually, I think, a really good deal if you were going to spend the money already. Then there is 15,000 kilometers of free supercharging, which is a really good deal when you think about how much supercharging can cost. 15,000 kilometers, that's going to, I don't know if they expire or something, but that's a really good deal. And there's a home charging package as well. And you save around $1,200 equivalent on that. And so it's interesting they're doing it in China. I know I've seen people react to this and say, oh, well, sales must be down, bum. They're trying to stimulate demand. Only Tesla will know why Tesla are bringing that back. Of course, they were very famous for their referral program, which is different to this, which really created for many people that sense of community around Tesla. And lots of people would tell their friends and family, because you're getting free miles, free superchargers. Look, for some people, they were winning wheels or home garage chargers or even, you know, power walls or even new roadsters. Not that anyone's ever going to get that new roadster. If they ever make it, you know, I don't know. I think they got Cybertruck to do first and semi-truck, and the roadster will be a long, long way off yet. But those influencers could well win a car or two. So that referral thing did its job at the time when Tesla was smaller, but now they're a larger company. I'm surprised they're bringing this back. Only they'll know why. And they're only doing it in China, by the way. So we'll wait and see how that works out. Now, Stellantis have many brands under management, and they're also have got to put all the parts together for all those Peugeots and Citroens and Jeeps and things like that. There's two new joint ventures in France. The first one's going to be an e-motors joint venture, 50-50 company with the French outfit, and they're going to make an e-motor in their new factory in France. That's 400 volts, 115 kilowatts of power, and they say will be debuting in a Stellantis electric vehicle by the end of the year. I wonder what that could be. I have speculated on the baby Jeep, the junior Jeep, whatever it is going to be called. We'll find out soon, we think, in a matter of weeks, as the spy shots of its advertising campaign film shoot were leaked. So it's ready, the baby Jeep. And I said, I forget when it was, on a previous podcast, because obviously I'm recording this a few days late because I've been so ill. My brain is kind of mush. My brain is still kind of mush, by the way. Quick aside, I apologise for anything that I may have said today. I really am in a bit of a blur at the minute because I'm still feeling rough and on painkillers. But the package that Stellantis has for their Peugeots and Citroens and Opels and Vauxhalls of a 50 kilowatt hour pack, 100 kilowatt motor, 100 kilowatt peak charge rate, I just don't know if that cuts it with their first all-electric Jeep. So this motor, you know, stick one on the front axle, one on the rear axle, that'd be a pretty handy package for the junior Jeep. But we'll wait and see. I'm totally speculating now, by the way. Now, let's talk a little bit. We're going to get onto the tax credits issue in the second half of the podcast because, I mean, I've read this 1,000 times and I think I'm getting there with it. A couple more stories before we take a quick break. Firstly, classic brands are being left behind by new players in China. Smart functions, things like digital keys, gesture control even, is increasingly important to younger car buyers in China, according to JD Power. That explains the surging popularity of local Chinese startups in the EV world, because they are better at introducing new technologies into their models, they say, than established EV brands. And actually, when it comes down to quality, the new Chinese startups rating just as well, and in some cases better than the established names that bring their cars imported or even made locally in China. So that explains why the startup culture in China has done so well. Down under, let's go to Brisbane, where there will be 60 all-electric trackless trams. And if I say trackless tram, don't think I'm talking about a bus. It is a tram. It's like three carriages long, but doesn't run in tracks. Brisbane's City Council have ordered 60 of these. They're going to be coming from Austria, I think, actually. And after a trial, Switzerland, these are made, actually. After a trial in 2019, they have confirmed the new order. They are three carriages long with two articulation segments. They're 25 metres in length, and they run on the busway system in Brisbane. They'll charge in 6 minutes on an overhead pantograph infrastructure, and then at the end of what they call end of route, there'll be some slow charges. But even the slow ones are 50 kilowatts, and there's going to be one for each of the trackless trams. They're putting in 60 50 kilowatt, you know, slow chargers, air quotes, at the Metro depot, and they'll charge overnight when they're not being used, and then when they're out in use, they will have a what they call flash charging system, the pantograph, which will connect for 6 minutes and provide them just enough juice at 600 kilowatts charge speed. Holy bazookas, Batman, to get them back on the road. Okay, right, levers turned on, because coming up on the podcast in a second, we're going to try and work out and to dig into what on earth is happening with this tax credit system that is being introduced from the 1st of January. Bit of good news around it, but still need to dig into this on the way on the podcast next. So I'll start with the good news, and that is that the US Senate has passed the Inflation Reduction Act by a majority, and that includes, of course, all of the EV tax credit reform. After the vote in the Senate, it now goes to the House of Representatives, where that will pass because the Democrat majority, and then Biden will sign it into law in the matter of the next few days. But there is this question around it of what vehicles will the tax credit be applicable to? So let's try and work this out together, you and I, because it's a big deal. Like, the act itself will put $60 billion into wind turbines, into clean tech research, into reducing agricultural emissions. But precisely, the tax credit, according to electrive.com, is split into two. Essentially, from the 1st of January, to get the tax credit, the car must be assembled in North America, and that language has been widened up out from the US. So, you know, Canada will be delighted and Mexico delighted. So essentially, the car must be assembled in North America. There is two parts of the tax credit. Now, the way that Electrive, which is a great website, describe it is a $3,750 tax credit for one part and another part. Now, the way I understand it is that you don't get half. It's all or nothing. So, again, I disagree with this article in my reading of it, but I'm not saying I'm right or wrong. I'm saying that this is from having read the actual text. That's not how I understand it. But it shouldn't be this confusing. It shouldn't be this confusing. There is one part which you have to qualify for. 40% of the battery minerals from the US or a free trade agreement country, and 50% of the vehicle's battery components. Aren't they the same thing? It sounds the same thing to me. 40% of the critical minerals and 50% of the battery components. Well, okay, so one part is about mining and minerals and raw materials. So 40% of the battery are the minerals. Must be from the US or a free trade agreement partner. And 50% of the battery components. Okay, well, I understand that, because a battery component is cells and bus bars and BMSs and fuses and inverters and lots of things. So, okay. And then, so 50%, again, North America or free trade partner agreement. And both those percentages rise. So, this is where it gets a little confusing. CNBC say that late on Sunday night, the Senate passed the bill that will fight climate change and making Medicare affordable with the Affordable Care Act, and putting limits on medications as well, things like insulin, capping the monthly cost because you shouldn't be paying thousands of dollars for that a month. A report says that 19 companies in the Fortune 100 who paid little tax or even no tax last year. What? 19 companies in the US paying little or no tax? Come on, that's not fair. We'll all be forced to pay more tax. That's how they're going to pay for this, which is, if you ask me, excellent news. No, I have no sympathy with ExxonMobil or Bank of America or Amazon not paying as much tax as they will be from now on. That's a good thing. That pays for this. In terms of the spending, CNBC point out that the $4,000 credit for buying a used EV is key. And I agree with that, by the way. It hasn't been mentioned enough. Used EVs are crucial. Most people don't buy a new car. And second-hand, third-hand, fourth-hand is important. So $4,000 credit. Again, I'm still not clear whether that is a tax credit or whether it is money off the car or whether it... because the language is used differently every damn time I read a story about this from a different news outlet. We'll get there. No problem. Right, the caps, the price caps for a car, $55,000. For a truck, $80,000. And again, this is bad news for Tesla, because it depends how the Model Y is classified. Is the Model Y as a vehicle class a car, Or is it so heavy that it's a truck? Well, again, there is no definitive answer. There's lots of opinion, by the way, and lots of conjecture being written as fact, but I've seen nothing from the DMV or anything with a list of vehicles and are they a car or are they a truck? So what's the Model Y from Tesla? Because at the minute, it looks like Tesla might get no federal tax credit. Everyone's like, oh my goodness me, the tax credit is back for GM and Tesla. They hit their $200,000 limit and now they're going to get $7,500 off a car again. I don't think you will. And I really want to be proven wrong because I want you to get money off a car. I don't think there's no pleasure being right on this, but I don't think Tesla will. Anyway, let's move on. So let's work out how these EVs are going to be affected. An article that I found on Autoblog says, and I quote, there are 72 EV models currently available for purchase in the US, including battery and plug-in cars, according to the Alliance of Automotive Innovation. That's a trade group that represents the likes of Toyota and General Motors. 70% of those EVs immediately become ineligible when the bill passes, and none qualify for the full credit when the additional sourcing requirements go into effect. So let me explain to you, the additional sourcing requirement is from 2024. So from next year, 1st of Jan, 2023, Biden signs this into law. You order a car from the 1st of January. And by the way, if you've ordered a car now, before Biden signs it, you're fine. Old rules apply. If you order the car after the day he signs it, but before the 1st of January, I think you fall under the new tax credit, I think. So, but then from 2024, if the vehicle has components from certain countries that haven't been named, but everyone knows that means China, you don't get the federal tax credit. So basically, it is an anti-China thing, but not from 2023, it's 2024. See, look, I've mentioned this already. This is too complicated. If I'm doing a whole segment about it, it's too complicated already. This is not how it should be. And so, but there'd be no vehicles. No vehicles. Of the 72 on sale right now in the US, none of them get the federal tax credit, because the batteries are processed in China. And let me tell you, just as a quick, very quick, by the way, aside on this, it's not so much where the minerals come from, and yes, a lot is mined in China, it's where they're processed, because all the minerals are processed in China. And so, yeah, they can be mined in Australia or many other countries, but they're processed in China. And that's what makes them, all these cars, ineligible. So Autoblog say that the Model 3 and the Model Y still get it because the Model 3, the base model, falls under 55 grand. Yep, I agree. If you base it purely on the 55 grand or the 80 grand limits. What Autoblog haven't done, though, is said about the batteries. And I don't know. They've said that the base Model 3 is eligible for the federal tax credit from the 1st of January. That's the only Tesla that will be. I disagree, because isn't that the one with batteries from CATL? That's a Chinese company. So that's definitely going to have more than 40% of the minerals and materials from China, because CATL in China are making it. It's all going to be Chinese. So I don't think it does. Now, that is against Tesla podcasts that I listen to, Tesla articles that I've read. They've all said, yes, Tesla are getting it back. It's going to be the base Model 3, the end. But not if it's got a Chinese battery. And so, again, look, I'm just a British guy on a podcast trying to decipher this, but I disagree. I don't think Tesla or many of these car companies will get the federal tax credit. Ford Mustang Mach-E, well, it's made in Mexico, so yes, it's made in the right place. Price-wise, will it be under 80 grand if it's classified as an SUV? I mean, or under 55 grand if it's a car? But what about the battery? The Jeep Wrangler 4xe, MSRP works out, but where's the battery from? The Hyundai Ioniq 5 and EV6, they name, built in South Korea, I would add. So no, it's assembled in South Korea, so no federal tax credit for you if you want to buy a Hyundai or Kia. The Chevy Bolt and the Bolt EUV, well, price-wise, yes, ticks that box. Production-wise, yes, ticks that box. Final assembly at the Orion plant in Michigan. So you think that they're getting the federal tax credit, but where's the battery from? And yes, you could say, well, don't they have that big deal with LG? So of course the batteries are assembled, they're made in North America. Yeah, but where's it from? Like, all the processing's done in China. I don't know. Like, look, I disagree with Autoblog's list. They're an excellent publication, far better than this one, than me. They know what they're talking about. But I disagree with that. I don't think those cars will be eligible. I'd like to be wrong. Please, please let me be wrong. However, in the long run, from 2024, so in 2024, that is when the tax credit is all about countries that China hasn't been named, but this is about, this is a political piece of lawmaking. And let me. I was going to talk more about this, but in short, I'll finish what I'm going to say, and then I'll say the next thing. Good for South Korea. Right, done. Because they've all got deals in North America. So if I can remember, LG have the GM deal. They're building the Michigan stuff in for the Ultium cells. SK have their sites in Tennessee, two in Kentucky, one in Georgia. Samsung have their plant in Indiana with Stellantis. And so the South Korean have all done deals with Ford, GM, Stellantis, more. And they're all building them in the US. But where do those materials come from? Look, I'll finish off by saying, for the people who don't understand what this is, and feel free to disagree with me, this is politics at work. Some people think that Joe Manchin, who held the sway over this, put a poison pill in to say, yeah, you can have EV tax credits back in, knowing that no cars get them. I disagree. I don't think it's that. I think this is purely because China is in control of the supply chain of cars and vehicles and batteries, right? And I don't care where the batteries come from. I own a Chinese car. My MG is all Chinese, right? So I don't care. But if you are the president, and it's your job to ensure that in 10 years' time, you won't be at the mercy of a different country. That is what's happening here. So yes, in the short term, this sucks for consumers. It's overly complicated. And I think more people will lose than win at the beginning. But if you fast forward 10 years, what this will ignite is a fire underneath the battery supply chain industry in terms of not only mining, but processing of those raw materials. Now, that is not the work of a moment. It's not the work of a year or two or three or five. But over the next decade, it will mean that investment goes into a US domestic resilient battery supply chain. And that has to be a good thing, because then there's a choice, right? It can be the US or China. But at the minute, it's like 98% of processing is done in China. And so they hold the world to ransom. Again, I don't care. Like, it's above my pay grade to worry about these things. But effectively, I believe that's what this is. But it sucks in the short term, and it's far too complicated for most. Anyway, I will stop now because, like I say, this has been funny to get my head around. Thank you for listening today. That's your podcast. Sorry it's been late to arrive. If you are listening to this in delay, you can hear that I'm still not totally well, but I'm well enough to sit on my backside and talk out loud to you. And hopefully the next couple of days, these painkillers will do their job and I will be back on my feet. So, thanks to our premium partners of Patreon. That is you, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley and his EV Review Island YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, Octopus Electric Juice make public charging simple with one card, one map and one app, and millbrookcottages.co.uk, 5-star luxury cottages in the southwest in Devon. Book yourself a treat and get away. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.